From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Marijuana is now legal for adults to consume in Washington state. How do you explain that to your kids? How do you talk about it with your kids? Should you hide your marijuana smoking from your kids even though it's legal? How are you negotiating the landscape of legal pot in your house? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Let's go straight to Allison Holcomb. Allison is the campaign director for New Approach Washington that drafted the initiative to legalize marijuana. She's also the drug policy director of the ACLU of Washington. Allison, thanks for speaking with us again.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So we want to talk to you about the policy issues, but also the fact that you're a mom. You've got a four-year-old son. And how do you talk to him about marijuana? What's your thought about, I don't know if you smoke or not, but would you smoke in front of him if you were at a household with other adults and they were smoking marijuana? What would you do?
Wow. Start with the tough questions. You know, Dashiell is 4 years old, and at that age, you know, the feeling that I have right now is that it's not yet time for us to talk about marijuana. I don't think it's something that we need to address. I don't smoke in front of him. I have smoked on occasion and may do so in the future. There is an issue for me about smoking itself and setting that example in front of him. And I think there might even be some research that indicates that smoking, regardless of what you're smoking, in front of your children may have an impact on their decision about whether or not to take up smoking in the future.
And what's your knowledge of how that would influence a child?
My understanding is that smoking is a little bit different from alcohol, and fortunately we have some fantastic research available here within Washington State through our University of Washington Social Development Research Group and Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute that give us information about what we know about children's perceptions of smoking and drinking alcohol. Having a glass of wine with dinner may not have exactly the same impact on a child's decision to try alcohol as smoking cigarettes or smoking other things in front of them. And it's not really clear exactly at this point what the distinction might be. But in general, we always have to be aware as parents of the role models that we're setting for our children. And more specifically, what we're saying to them. I think it's important that we're clear about what our expectations are with children. And I think the research really backs that up.
Yeah, and you're right. Of course, 4 years old is pretty young to have this discussion, but do you have a date in mind? Would this be a discussion with the 8-year-old, the 12-year-old?
You know, I think what we're learning is that just before junior high and those ages, some may suggest even in fifth grade, starting at that point, starting to talk to your kids about all kinds of substances, tobacco, alcohol, marijuana, drugs that will remain illegal, makes sense. They are definitely going to be exposed to this issue and probably at that age. And I think it's important for us as parents to maintain our credibility with our kids and to be able to address these issues with them in a positive, constructive way.
Allison, thank you so much for your time, and I'm looking forward to our conversation at the Humanities Washington event next month. That should be fun.
Thanks so much.
Allison Holcomb, campaign director for New Approach Washington, also the drug policy director for the ACLU of Washington. Let's bring to the conversation Dr. Leslie Walker, chief of adolescent medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital. Dr. Walker, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me here.
What's your best advice to adults who might smoke marijuana, might be wondering about how to have a conversation with their kids about it, might be wondering about whether it's appropriate for them to do it around their kids?
I agree with what the first speaker just said. I think, but even more, I would stress it even more, whatever a parent is doing in the home, whatever age the child is, they take that in, they assess it, they make sense of it. And a parent really needs to know what their use is, if they're having problems with their use, what it's done to their life, because there's no way to hide their marijuana use from a kid. A child knows everything that's going on in the home, whether the parent thinks they do or not.
Really? So, they might be sneaking out in the backyard, but the kid's onto them?
Oh, yeah. Always. We hear about those things all the time in the clinic. So parents need to know that the kids see it. They see it. They make messages. They make sense of it in some way. So if the parent is having trouble or uses marijuana or alcohol or any other drug to relax, feel good, forget things, whatever it is that they're doing, that's the message the kid gets, and that's what they learn is a way to relax, feel good. They don't necessarily hear unless the parent tells them what the negative effects can be for a young developing brain. And, you know, for kids, if they do not actually hear what the parents' rules around drug use are, then they assume, especially adolescents, they assume that it's okay. I have many kids that will say, and you see it in the research, if a parent says, well, you can do a little marijuana with us, you can drink with us, it's okay, but I don't want you doing it out, I don't want you driving. What they hear is alcohol and drugs are okay. Mm-hmm. And anything that's okay for parents, an adolescent by nature and by their development needs to go a little further. So parents need to be real clear about the rules and not feel guilty about saying alcohol and drugs are not acceptable in our home.
So the age appropriateness is important. Dr. Walker, stay with us. We have with us in the studio Roger Wafferman, Professor Emeritus at the University of Washington School of Social Work, and he works a lot on marijuana use among Seattle teens. And Roger Rothman, what do you have to say to parents who might be listening who are kind of dealing with the situation now? Maybe they have younger children and they're not really sure whether now that it's legal they might be inclined to want to smoke it around the house. They don't know whether they should be doing it in front of their kids or not.
Well, I think modeling in front of children is clearly important, but perhaps as important is the kind of conversation that a parent has with children. It's very easy, out of fear, to slide into a conversation that quickly slams the door. It's illegal. I don't want you to do it. It's dangerous. Making some threats about what will happen if the teen does it, and then ending the conversation. Lots of parents, out of fear, fall into that kind of trap, understandably. So there's an alternative, and the alternative is preparing for the conversation before beginning it. And fortunately, now there's some excellent resources available to parents at no cost on how to prepare to have a conversation with a teenager. And I should correct myself, prepare to have conversations with teens about marijuana.
And just to stop you for a second, is 13 years the age when that conversation should begin? Is there an age to start it?
No. Have conversations with your children. And
okay.
I think that the previous speakers have probably located it better than I. Mm-hmm. Probably at 8 or 9 or 10 is the time to have those conversations. The question is, how do you do it in such a way that you maintain your credibility and your authority and your values as a parent without leaving your teen with their arms folded across their chest or perhaps walking out the door screaming? Dr. Marsha Rosenbaum has written a superb booklet called Safety First, a Reality-Based Approach to Teens and Drugs. It's available on the Internet at the Drug Policy Alliance website, And what Dr. Rosenbaum has done is help parents to think about what the teen's experience is likely to be in having a conversation like this, and help the parent create something that will permit the teen to stay in the room, listening and hearing and being involved in an authentic way with parents while talking about drugs or alcohol or tobacco.
Roger Rothman, do you agree with Dr. Walker? She just said the kids are going to know if you're smoking marijuana anywhere in the house. They'll pick that up at a very early age. Do you think it's kind of impossible to disguise that?
I think it's probably pretty difficult to disguise it. The question is whether or not a teen or a child can learn and accept a difference between what's acceptable for children and what's acceptable for adults. And that's an important part of the conversation that the parent needs to have. There are some things that I do as your mom or your dad because I'm an adult that really are not a good idea for you. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand that. And it's not because life in the world is unfair, but because for your health and for your safety, there need to be some things that you don't do until you're 21 or older.
Dr. Leslie Walker, Chief of Adolescent Medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital, how about that? I mean, parents have to tell kids all the time that they can't do things that the parents can do. The parents can drive, but you can't get behind the wheel and drive. Do you think it's different when it comes to smoking marijuana?
No, I think that kids can hear mixed messages. We know, you know, we do that a lot. You know, we would prefer you not to have sexual activity at this time, but if you do, please get birth control. If you drink, a lot of kids have the message, you shouldn't drive. They can hear these messages, but I think even more important is that they have to parents have to be really clear about what they want and not assume that the kids know without a conversation or many conversations. And parents have to be clear about what's going on as they get older, and they're not just getting the messages from home but also in their community. They need to be clear about what's happening in the community and how they can help their child have different options, different ways of discussing it, and you know, really understand the parents' and the family's views on what they expect from their child.
Is it, from what you said, I infer that you mean that you think that some parents are not direct in what they want?
That's very often the case, yes. Many parents, if you talk to them, they'll say, I've talked about, we talked about sex, we talked about drugs, we talked about alcohol. And you talk to the same kid 5 minutes later, say, my parents never talked about it. I think they think it's okay for us to use to drink, but not to use drugs. You know, kids don't necessarily hear a one-time, like, you know, offhanded, quick message. They need to hear consistent and repetitive messages that are reinforced in the home.
But you don't want the kid to turn off, Roger Rothman. So if you're clear with the child, I don't want you smoking marijuana until you're 21. I mean, does that run the risk of having them go, but Dad, you're smoking marijuana. What are you talking about? What's the big deal?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a real challenge here because the but dad part is going to be, and you seem to enjoy it, and why can't I? And dad's got to have a good answer for that. And that's where preparation for this conversation is really important. One approach from dad is because I told you so. But there's another approach, and that is, look, I get it. Getting high is fun, and it is. So is drinking. The reason that I don't want you to start getting high or drinking, not until you're an adult, is the following. Right now, the business that you're doing as a teen, as an adolescent, is learning and preparing for adulthood. And there is too big a risk that experiencing pleasure from getting high or drinking is going to derail you from the kind of work that you need to do in school, with your friends, at home, learning how to problem solve, learning how to compete, learning how to celebrate, learning how to deal with disappointment. And it may be hard to understand, but those jobs of adolescent really are going to be of lifelong importance for you. And that's why I want you to hold off using alcohol, marijuana, until you're an adult and have done the work of adolescence.
Dr. Walker, what do you think about Roger Rothman's talk to his younger son or daughter there? Do you think that's the right approach to take, to concede that, yeah, it's fun, but not for you, and be clear about it?
I think that the approach sounds good. I think, though, that I would have caution that many people don't use marijuana for pleasure. Many people think they need it to go to sleep, to wake up, to treat their asthma, to, you know, treat pain. There are a lot of reasons kids even pick to use it, and they'll say it's not for pleasure, it's to help my ADHD. So I think that that part needs to also come out, because those are the messages they hear. There isn't any research behind most all of those things that any of that is useful. And in fact, it can be very harmful for things like asthma, ADHD, sleep. Marijuana directly impacts that, which would impact their ability to go to school and complete. And so I do think that parents shouldn't just say, you know, one message. They really need to give them the full information. I think one message, if it's all good or it's all bad, or, you know, people don't really hear that. But kids can hear and make decisions just like adults if they get the right information.
Well, it doesn't seem like a parent can be clear to a child unless the parent is clear about why their use of drugs or alcohol, Roger Rothman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've got to be honest with themselves first.
And being honest with yourself, again, is part of the preparation process. Do a bit of reading. Do a bit of thinking. Perhaps talk a bit with your spouse or your partner about how are we going to bring this up, and how are we going to keep our son or our daughter in the room, in the conversation, feeling okay about our talking about this.
Hey, let's go to Pat, who's listening to us in West Seattle today. Pat, is this an issue that you're dealing with in your household?
No, because I don't have any children in my household, but I'm very interested in, and the conversation's starting to go that way, in having conversations with children about the difference between moderation and abuse, and that kind of figures in any sort of intoxicant, as you'd have it. I mean, a glass of wine in Europe, children grow up around people drinking wine throughout their lives, and including kids are given a little watered-down wine. Now, I'm not advocating giving kids marijuana. I do think there's a brain development issue there. But I think that it's really important that kids be given an honest, such as if you abuse, you've got a problem, it's going to be hard to talk to your kids. But if you are moderate in your consumption of whatever things are legal, that conversation needs to be brought up about what is moderation.
Pat, thanks for that call. Roger Rothman, you were nodding your head at that remark.
Yeah, the booklet that I mentioned by Dr. Rosenbaum, Safety First, really includes thoughtful consideration about the difference between use and abuse. In the booklet, Dr. Rosenbaum includes a letter that she wrote to her son, being very clear that she wanted and hoped that her son would not use alcohol or other drugs until he became an adult. But then she went on and she said, I realize that you may make choices that I wouldn't make if I were you. So if you do choose, I want to talk about safety, and I want to talk about the difference between use and abuse. I want to be clear, my values are that you should not use until you're an adult. Mm-hmm. But if you do, I want you to be safe.
Roger Rothman, thank you so much for coming by. We'll get the names of those resources you mentioned and also kind of adding those for people who like to do some more reading. And Dr. Leslie Walker, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. Walker, Chief of Adolescent Medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital, a program produced by David Hyde with Arwin Nix, production help from Cameron Drews. Bernard Ouellette is the engineer. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.